Chapter 1. 170 miles west-southwest of Durban, July 27, 1909. The SS Watertop plowed through the waves on a voyage from Durban to Cape Town, rolling noticeably with the growing swells. Dark smoke from coal-fired boilers spilled from her single funnel and was driven in the opposite direction by a contrary wind. Sitting alone in the main lounge of the 500-foot steamship, 51-year-old Gavin Brevard felt the vessel roll ponderously to starboard. He watched the cup and saucer in front of him slide toward the edge of the table, slowly at first, and then picking up speed as the angle of the ship's roll increased. At the last second, he grabbed for the cup, preventing it from sliding off the edge and clattering to the floor. The Watertower remained at a sharp pitch, taking a full 2 minutes to right herself, and Brevard began to worry about the vessel he'd booked passage on. In a prior life, he'd spent 10 years at sea aboard various steamers. On those ships, the recoil was quicker, the keel more adept at righting itself. This ship felt top-heavy to him. It made him wonder if something was wrong. Mortiser. Deep in thought, Brevard barely noticed the waiter in the uniform of the Blue Anchor Line. He held out the cup he'd saved from destruction. Merci. The waiter topped it off and moved on. As he left, a new figure came into the room, a broad-shouldered man of perhaps 30, with reddish hair and a ruddy face. He made a direct line for Brevard, taking a seat in the chair opposite.
Johannes, Brevard said in greeting. Glad to see you're not trapped in your cabin like the others.
Johannes looked a little green, but he seemed to be holding up.
Why have you called me here?
Brevard took a sip of the tea.
I've been thinking, and I've decided something important. And what might that be?
We are far from safe.
Johannes sighed and looked away. Brevard understood. Johannes thought him to be a worrier, a fear-laden man. But Brevard was just trying to be cautious. He'd spent years with people chasing him, years living under the threat of imprisonment or death. He had to think 5 steps ahead just to remain alive. It had tuned his mind to a hyper-attentive state.
Of course we are safe, Johannes replied. We've assumed new identities. We left no trail. The others are all dead, and the barn has been burned to the ground. Only our family continues on.
Brevard took a sip of tea.
What if we've missed something?
It doesn't matter, Johannes insisted. We are beyond the reach of the authorities here. This ship has no radio. We might as well be on an island somewhere.
That was true. As long as the ship was at sea, they could rest and relax. But the journey would end soon enough.
We're only safe until we dock in Cape Town, Brevard pointed out. If we haven't covered our trail as perfectly as we think, we may arrive to a greeting of angry policemen or His Majesty's troops.
Johannes did not reply right away. He was thinking, soaking the information in.
What do you suggest?
He asked finally.
We have to make this journey last forever.
And how do we do that?
Brevard was speaking metaphorically. He knew he had to be more concrete for Johannes.
How many guns do we have?
4 pistols and 3 rifles.
What about the explosives?
2 of the cases are still full, Johannes said with a scowl, though I'm not sure it was wise to bring them aboard.
They'll be fine, Brevard insisted. Wake the others. I have a plan. It's time we took destiny into our own hands.
Captain Joshua Ilberry stood on the Waratah's bridge despite it being time for the third watch to take over. The weather concerned him. The wind was gusting to 50 knots, and it was blowing opposite to the tide.